Hey, welcome to the One Board Podcast. This is Ryan Gutowski with One Board Family, and...
Hey, everybody, it's Rick White. How are you, Ryan?
I'm doing great, Rick. Doing great, man. Had some busy times at work, and so I'm ready to do some podcasting and talking about some games. Are you?
Yeah, people always seem to frown on me trying to podcast at work. I don't understand what the problem is.
Yeah, I mean, it's your right as an American to podcast at work.
Pretty sure that's the 28th Amendment.
I mean,
I didn't have a very good history teacher, so I don't know.
Aren't you a history teacher? Hold on.
No, I'm a math teacher.
Oh, that it's makes sense. That makes a yes. lot more sense.
Yes.
So on tonight's episode, we're going to talk about your local hobby shops, your game retailer that you might have in your local area versus big box stores. And some of the comparisons and things that we find good about both. And then we're going to transition into sharing our very first feature spotlight on a indie developer or a game developer that we've come to love and know, Bellwether Games. And then we're going to give you a review slash preview of a game that's currently on Kickstarter at the time of this recording. So that's kind of what you're in store for in episode 2 of the One Board Podcast. So get ready and buckle up.
I'm excited and I know what's coming. Like, that's how good it is.
I know, because we have a spreadsheet.
Sweet. Love spreadsheets.
Spreadsheets are
spreadsheets
awesome.
Spreadsheets and podcasts.
You know what? As I got older, I started enjoying Excel a lot, which is really sad. And I think it speaks to that super nerdy part of me that's like, look at all these columns and rows.
Yeah. Chicks dig spreadsheets, man.
Oh, yeah. People are like, oh, how well do you know your Excel formulas?
Yeah.
That's how I got my wife, actually.
Definitely. That's totally true.
Anyway, Rick, let's talk about your FLGS. What is that, Rick? Enlighten us.
Your favorite local game store, correct? Like, I hope I'm not messing up your live slash recorded on the
or friendly local game store. Anyone you choose. So a lot of people online use FLGS as an abbreviation for their local hobby shop, their local game store in their town. And it kind of signifies this, this local flavor, that this community that's come together around board games or hobby games. And so Rick, tell me a little about what you know about your local game store. Do you have one near you? Do you have one that you frequent? What's your feelings on that?
Yes, I do have a friendly local game store. I guess mine would be Challenges Games and Comics. It's in a mall near where we live, and it's pretty good. It's a pretty good store. I've done. They do a little celebration each year, and they bring in game demoers, and they're also a comic book shop. So they bring in artists and things like that. They have a pretty good setup there. So. I've learned a couple games there, and I've interacted with the employees there, and yeah, good guys and nice guys. I enjoy going there and just browsing from the time to time, talking with the people that work there and trying to learn a little bit about some of the games that have been coming out recently.
When I was growing up, I was probably 14, 15 years old. And, we had a place called the Bookhouse here in where I live. And, that's kind of my first adventure into, I went to comic book shops when I lived in Central Georgia. I went to comic book shops all the time. We had a pretty cool comic book store where I grew up. But when I became a teenager, when I moved out to where I live now, I found this really cool place called the Bookhouse, and that's when I started learning about role-playing games and started playing Magic the Gathering and things like that. And so I think my local game shop has always been a place where I could connect with people, but also where I can get my hands on items immediately. We're so thankful that we have a great game store here in the area that we live in called Moxie's. Moxie is a fantastic shop that they order whatever you need, super friendly staff. They've been really cool to work with. And they, one thing that I love about it is that if I want to see a game in person, you know, you can go shopping on Amazon, you can go shopping wherever, but when you want to hold the box, when you want to look at the package, that's where you go. And I think that's the value that game shops bring to the scene.
Definitely. Yeah, I like I said, I like challenges. They don't quite have a setup similar to like Tai Chi's games, and they're in Athens, Georgia, where I went to college, and I swung by there about a month ago. It had been 10 years since I'd been in that shop. It was an anime shop when I was in college, and now they've really gotten into board games, and they have a great, you know, demo shelf where you can kind of open up stuff. The guy was willing to play games with me so that I could see, you know, whether or not I liked it beforehand. Challenges hasn't quite got that part going, and I do think a lot more of their clientele is into Magic the Gathering, which, you know, it's whatever works for them. I'm not personally into Magic the Gathering quite as much, but yeah, I really enjoyed my experience with Tai Chi's games and thinking about and seeing a person that was so dedicated to giving a good gameplay experience, trying to match a person with a game that they thought would be good for that customer. I felt they did a really good job of that over at Tai Chi's.
And I think that's where
game
shops...
I sure hope I'm saying their name correctly.
Yeah. Well, they'll correct you by email.
Yes.
That's what local game stores bring to the scene that I think big box stores can't. One thing that impressed me so much over the past 2 years is that Target has really stepped up their game. They are bringing some really great games to the shelf. I mean, you can go down the game aisle at Target and find some really phenomenal games that you can easily get your hands on that even 5 years ago would not have been mainstream games. And so I love being able to go to Target and seeing those things, but I think that the heart and soul of gaming is missing from the big box stores. And I think that's where something like Target or Walmart or Barnes & Noble, they can't exactly get that friendly local game store feel. And I think that's, you know, I know some people in some parts of the country, honestly, they don't have game stores. You know, there's a period of time when we would go to Tennessee, and there was a game store in Tennessee, and there's a game store in Florida that I loved going to in my early 20s. And so those were the places that I would go to because I didn't really feel like I had one here where I live. Because, you know, even though Moxie is amazing, they weren't there, you know, 10 years ago. So it's something that I know that some people don't have access to that, and I feel for you if you don't. But I think that's the biggest difference between the big box store and the local game shop.
Right. And I think, too, like, you know, Target is going to sell what sells. And generally, I think the average person that goes into Target, you know, may not be as familiar with board games as, say, you and I. You know, like Target has that one shelf that's like the adult only party games.
Yeah.
And, you know, it's like Codenames After Dark and Cards Against Humanity and stuff like that. You know, you don't really see that at your local game store. And it's not that you can't have fun out of those things, but that's not really what they're about. You know, the fun comes from a game, not from like because we're saying and doing things that you don't normally do in a board game. It's because of the game itself. And then, you know, with Target too, like there are really good games. And I think they've kind of gotten rid of, you know, the fluff a lot, but you still have, you know, some games that I would say aren't quite as good, you know, that are out there, that on the shelves of Target. So, I do think, yeah, if you're just kind of casually looking for something that, you know, you play at Thanksgiving when the relatives come over, you should listen to us first and foremost. But, But, you know, you could probably find something at Target that'll do the trick. But if you're wanting a game like, we're going to play this several times, this is going to be an investment for our family.
Yeah.
I definitely think the local game store is worth going to get a better input.
Now, Rick, I know that some people look at game stores and they say, hey, I'm not going to pay the inflated prices when I can get something that goes on sale 10, 20% off at my local big box store if they're carrying the same item. You know, you see the weekly ads and stuff. What are your feelings on the game store versus the big box store? Obviously, the big box store has 40 versions of, you know, Monopoly and 15 copies of Ticket to Ride. When your local game store, they may only be able to carry three because that's what's going to sell. So, what are your feelings on pricing and things like that, and how do you work with that?
Yeah, I've talked in the past about the fact that I actually don't buy a lot of brand new games. A lot of the games I buy are used, or I do trades or things like that. I'm always trying to get the most game for my buck. And so I definitely have had those moments, you know, where, you know, you're sitting in the local game store and you see a game costs $60 there, and you know on Amazon it's like $35. And that's your money. You know, it's a local game store, a local business. You want to support it, but you don't know, like, how can you feel kind of weird because it's also still your money, you know, and you want to be able to get a good deal. I do think, though, that you're thinking about the experience that you got. You know, if you're at that local game store and the person was spending time to demo the game with you, the person was spending time to talk to you about, like, what's a good fit for you, you know, I think it makes sense to be willing to spend a little bit of extra. You know, at Tai Chi's Games, I played a game called Cat Lady, and he had talked it up a lot. And at first I was like, this sounds kind of silly, but, you know, I'll play it. And I really had a good time. And the game was a little bit more than I was willing or thinking I wanted to spend on it.
Yeah.
But, you know, I went through this guy talked to me for like an hour yesterday. He sat with me and played this game two times. You know, he really valued me as a customer, and I need to value that experience. I need to understand that that's not free for him. That's his job.
Yeah.
And so thinking, I mean, maybe even thinking about it as a tip, like, I don't know, like it seems okay to me. But I would say, like, simultaneously, like, not every game store necessarily does a great job of their customer service. Like, I've been in a game store where they won't even talk to you. And they might sit in the corner and talk with the regulars about, like I said, like Magic the Gathering or something like that.
Yeah.
Like, I don't personally think that just because they're a local business, you immediately give them more money. Like, they need to be doing something that makes you feel appreciated as a customer, I think.
Yeah.
So, my personal take.
Yeah, I think when you talk about family gaming, like we talk about at One Board Family, when you talk about family gaming, that experience of gaming as a family, some local game stores do it so well, and then some fail at that. I know when I was 15 years old, playing Magic the Gathering and playing role-playing games at the Bookhouse, if a family walked in, I don't know that it would have gone very well. But I was 15 at the time, and I was a huge nerd like I am now. And I stayed in that world. And so that made sense to me. But if a family had walked in, I highly doubt that it would have been very good. You know, we actually were in Atlanta passing through, coming back home, and we stopped off at a game store. And we went in, and within a minute, my wife and kids, like, they were like, yeah, I think we're good. You know, I noticed the atmosphere. The atmosphere was, I mean, it wasn't hostile. It was like a bunch of guys staring at my wife, and then two people talking behind the counter, and nobody cared that we were there. And so we looked at a couple games. I said hey to the guy, and I said, hey, you have some great games here. Hope you guys have a great week or weekend or whatever it was. And they were like, oh, okay. And then we walked out, and that was it. And then it's funny because 20 miles up the road, we were actually getting off the exit to get gas. There was a game store right there. We walked in, the guy's like, hey, what's up? You guys doing all right? You looking for anything in particular? Super pleasant. The guy took time to talk to my kids about some games and comic books they were looking at. great experience.
Right.
And so I think you're exactly right that, you know, that is part of the experience. And the local game stores that get that, the local game stores that cater to people in that way and know that their customer is important, those are the ones that you're going to see stand the test of time.
Right. And that's where, you know, like you said, it's the service part. Like, I have not yet met a Target employee that really knows what's going on with board games. For instance, I bought two for the Black Friday preview sale, and I was explaining the games to the employee.
Yeah.
She was like, "What are these games about?" I was like, "Well, let me tell you." I was like, "Let me practice for the reviews I'm about to do for these games." But that's hopefully not a thing that happens at a game store.
Yeah,
and I've been in game stores where, and I mean, you and I do this a lot, but like where I know substantially more than the person behind the counter. And I'm like, you know, why are you selling this if you don't really have any idea what's going on? So, I'm all for the local business. I'm all for supporting, you know, my neighbor, but make me have a reason to support you, you know, give me at least a little reason to do that.
Yeah, completely. So, Rick, we are going to chat about a little different topic coming up next. Let's take a little break, and we'll be back with a feature on one of the board game developers in the community. So we're back, and every other episode, we're going to take a look at a game publisher or a game developer and kind of talk about some of the really cool aspects of the development community and game publishing. So this week, we're talking about Bellwether Games. Dennis Hoyle has been, he's the founder of Bellwether Games, and he's been our contact. He's been great to work with. And Rick, we actually got to, Dennis introduced himself to us kind of early in at One Board Family when we first got started with a game called Wind Up War. Do you remember seeing that on Kickstarter?
I do. That was one I was so jealous of you getting to preview because it looks so much fun.
Yeah, so Dennis had reached out, and we worked with Dennis over at Bellwether Games, and we checked out Wind Up War, which is basically this game that has armies of wind-up toys, whether it's a military or a pack of dinosaurs or robots or like teddy bears. It was really cool. These toys came to life basically on these small cards, and you would try to manage the health of the toys as you battled it out using these programmable movements. So you would program one card to do a specific thing, and then you would go around, and it's a really cool game. We've actually still got the preview on the website. That game came to Kickstarter, got funded, and has been published already. Actually, it's funny, I was at a game store in New York City and saw a copy of Wind Up War on the store shelf. It was really cool to see that. So,
did you name drop while you're this?
I should have walked. I should have walked up. Oh, this is Dennis Hoyle's game. And the guy would have been. Yeah, this guy, this shop in New York City, we went to, called the Complete Strategist, had thousands upon thousands of games. I mean, so many games that it was mind-boggling to me. And I just stood there. Erin was looking at me. She was like, "We're here. We've got to buy something. What do you want to buy?" And I think it's the first time I've had that paralysis of like, I don't know what I want to buy. There's so many things here.
I don't think Sarah has ever said that to me at a board game store.
Take her to New York.
Or at any store.
Take her to New York, and then you'll get that. So,
yes, we're going to make a trip just so I can buy something.
It'll cost you a lot of money.
Definitely.
So Bellwether Games, they've been around since 2011, and it's really cool to see some of the games that they've produced. They've produced bigger tabletop games, like a game called Coldwater Crown. A friend of mine at work actually got that from Kickstarter. Coldwater Crown is essentially a fishing tabletop game, and it looks so cool. It's funny because he got the Kickstarter and he never really sat down to play it. And I asked him about it. I said, "Hey, do you have Coldwater Crown? Because it seems like something he would have. And he said, yeah, actually, I do have a copy of Coldwater Crown. I've just never opened it. And he got to open it probably about a month ago.
I know that feeling.
Yeah, it's like that's that stack of shame that you have over in the corner that you've never actually played.
Yes.
But he played Coldwater Crown the other day. He said, man, I wish I hadn't waited so long. This is such a great game. It's this fishing game where you're managing your tackle and going around this this lake. And it's super cool looking game. They've also produced a couple other games, one that we've written about called Antidote. Do you remember us talking about that, Rick?
I do remember. I didn't get to play it with you guys, but it looked pretty awesome, and I believe it came with a an expansion when you talked about it as well. Is that correct?
Yeah, yeah. It comes with an expansion. This was another Kickstarter. Bellwether has published, I think, all of their games through Kickstarter, if I'm correct. But, yeah, Antidote is this really, really cool game that everybody gets this hand of cards, and you're trying to deduce. Going back to last episode, we talked about deduction games. Antidote's actually one of my favorite deduction games because you're trying to deduce what the special formula is that's hidden away underneath the box. So one formula is hidden away, and you only have part of the answer. So you're either swapping cards with people or laying cards down on the table. If you have a syringe in your hand, you can pick up other people's cards, and you're trying to wind up with the antidote in your hand in the last round of the game. The game's really cool, and it's definitely a neat party game. We played it a couple times, I think over the summer or in spring, and just had a blast with it. So that's one that they've produced. But so Bellwether Games has this great lineup of family-friendly games, and they're excellent production value. So Dennis Hoyle and the people that he works with, definitely check out Bellwether Games. You can go check them out at bellwethergames.com, and you can see their whole lineup of games. And they actually have some Kickstarters that they're working on for the future, and also have a Kickstarter going on right now, which we're going to talk about in the very next segment.
I can hardly wait!
Hey, and we're back. This week we have a Kickstarter preview slash review for you. Rick, the game is called Mars Open. It's basically tabletop golf. And last segment we were talking about Bellwether Games. Bellwether Games is the publisher of this game, and it's currently being funded on Kickstarter now through December 4th. So if you're listening to this before December 4th, you need to go look it up, Mars Open from Bellwether Games on Kickstarter. So
yeah, Ryan, and you were able to get your hands on a preview copy of Mars Open. What was your experience like with the game? What's it kind of got going on with it? How do you get golf on a table?
That's the thing that intrigued me so much, because when Dennis wrote me and said, hey, would you like to take a look at this? Man, I was like, how in the world do you make golf work on a table? Because obviously the whole ball factor. But what they've done is they have this basically square of cardboard that is folded a specific way. And it's a flicking mechanic. You know, it's a dexterity game, similar to Flick 'em Up or Paper Football or anything that uses that mechanic. And so you flick this cardboard that has these creases, these ridges on it. And if you flick it in the middle, it's going to go up high. If you just tap it on the edge, it'll spin. It was really cool. And in the booklet, in the manual, the rule book, it shows you some of the flicking techniques. It was really cool to be able to control this little piece of cardboard in these different ways, just by putting a little bit of English on it and flicking it into the hole for the game.
So you've got the ball mechanic on a piece of cardboard, but you know, golf course involves you know, a lot more than just here, tee, hole. So, like, how do they simulate the other parts that you might see, like, on a golf course?
So when you open up Mars Open, when you open the box, it's basically like a tool set. Okay. It's really cool. They've got these inlays, and then you've got these cardboard standees. There's a little cardboard man that's standing there. He's wearing like this pastel, like, jumpsuit type thing, and he's your little golfer. And then you have another, it almost looks like a Jetsons car, you know, a little Mars rover vehicle. And so you've got this vehicle, that's another standee. And then you've got these pieces of scenery that are standees. So the book, the user manual, comes with 27 different layouts for the golf course. So you've got these 27 different holes that you can create, no matter if you have a 5-foot table or a 10-foot table or whatever size table. And you basically place these different pieces at different intervals, and then you place the hole, basically the cup, is this cardboard square, and then you place the cardboard flag in it. It's really cool. It works so well because it gives you a tool set. I feel like this is something that is kind of endless. You know, if you want more obstacles, just put some more obstacles out there. You know, if you want the obstacles moved around, or if you want more of a challenge, move them whatever way you want. And it was cool because in the booklet, you've got easy, medium, and then expert mode, you know, so you've got these different ways of setting up a golf course for however proficient you are at this game. It was really neat. It was a great experience, especially for me and the kids, because as the kids flicked the thing more, they got more used to the way that the ball, using quotes, flies, and they got better at it every time we played.
Yeah, maybe you need to set up a driving range at the start where, okay, tablecloth, everybody flick the ball for a little while. Here we go.
Exactly. Well, I think me and you found that with Flick 'em Up, it's like if you don't get a couple practice flicks in, you're not going to be any good when you get out there.
Yes, or even 45 minutes into the game, you might still be terrible.
That's true. So
you talked, you know, it is Mars Open. Kind of how do you... Where does Mars come into play? You know, I don't often think of my golf being on Mars. Where does that part kind of come into play with the game?
I think the color scheme that they used for the artwork, it's got these reddish pink colors. I think they did a really good job with the artwork, making it something family friendly, something fun and whimsical. And what you see on these little standees and the box itself, I think that Mars is just a really good setting for something like this, because when you want to think about fantasy, you want to think out of this world, you know, Mars is very cool, you know, and they could have gone, honestly, Bowweather Games could have gone either direction with this. They could have gone a little darker, you know, with Mars, kind of like we see most space games, but instead they went very family friendly, really fun for kids. And I think they really knocked out of the park with the way that the art is positioned and how everything came together.
Yeah, I mean, I know when you put out this preview, I had seen this before. Somebody had mentioned this game, and I looked it up, and there wasn't much yet. It was before the Kickstarter, and I couldn't see much going on, but I was like, this sounds super amazing. And so when I saw that you had the chance to preview it, I was really excited. I personally love putt-putt and even putt-putt video games and little cell phone games. Like, I love that kind of thing. I have no idea why. I'm pretty terrible at regular golf.
I fall into that same category. Even in the preview that I posted to oneboardfamily.com, I put on there, usually the only golf I enjoy is putt-putt or Hot Shots Golf for the PlayStation. Outside of that, I'm not much into golf.
I was more of a outlaw golf for the GameCube kind of man myself, but
yes.
You know, to each his own. But yeah, I mean, that the other thing that you mentioned that really like struck me was like the paper football mechanic. I mean, you know, I a lot of people I know experience the paper football at the cafeteria. You know, you're bored before school starts. You're all having to sit in the cafeteria waiting for school to start, and you've got the little football, and you're entertaining yourself for a very long time, and
yeah.
you'd learn to be really precise, and you'd be like, man, this table's too slick, or this table's too rough. And so, yeah. You know, hopefully all that training I did as a child will come in handy when this game is released.
Most definitely. You guys can check it out on Kickstarter. It's kickstarting, like I said, through December 4th right now. And so it was actually funded, I believe, in the first 24 hours. And so now they're just working on stretch goals. And mm-hmm. and for anybody who's not familiar with Kickstarter and purchasing from Kickstarter and things like that, shoot us an email. Send us an email at contact@oneboardfamily.com. Rick or I will email you back and kind of give you a little more confidence in what you can do with Kickstarter. I think that, in fact, I didn't spend any money on Kickstarter until a little over a year ago, because there's this air of like, oh, am I going to get my product that I pay for when it finally comes out? Can I trust this person? Things like that. I can tell you, Bellwether Games, they fulfill their games. They have an excellent track record with Kickstarter, and they're definitely a company that you can spend money on and know that you're going to get a great product at the end.
Yeah, I am backer number 60. So I'm excited to get my copy when it gets released.
Excellent. So you went ahead and jumped on it.
Oh, most certainly.
Very
most
awesome.
Certainly.
You know what? We're going to be kickstarting it too. And can you imagine the giant epic golf course that we're going to be able to build with the two boxes?
It's going to be amazing. I'm excited. It's going to
be good. It's going to be good. We're going to need a whole auditorium. It might be a par 40 if we use an auditorium. Anyway, so Rick, man, thank you for, you know, asking me these questions about a game that I really, really enjoyed. And I know that my kids loved it. In fact, we're packing the game back together and we're putting it in the mailing box. And my daughter looks at me and she goes, "Do we have to send this back?" And I said, "Yes, because Mr. Dennis needs this because he's got a convention and he's going to need his prototype." And she goes, "What if you don't send it back?" And I was like, "That's
what
theft."
If,
so,
what if that, we just ignore his needs?
Yes.
What about my needs to have fun with this game?
Exactly. So, this game that kind of sold me on it. That our kids enjoyed it that much that they were like, "Why can't we keep this thing around?" Because I know that they would play it. So, definitely a cool game. Mm-hmm. So, check it out. Kickstarter.com and look for Mars Open before December 4th. Well, Rick, that's episode 2 in the books. And be sure, if you're listening, be sure to check us out at oneboardfamily.com. Rick, where else can they find us?
You can check us out on Facebook at facebook.com/oneboardfamily. You can find us on Instagram under the username oneboardfamily, or on YouTube under the username oneboardfamily. A lot of consistency there.
Yes.
Yeah.
Yes. So thanks for checking us out on the One Board Podcast. And until next time, we'll see you later.
Bye.